Scott Atula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. What are the matchups in this upcoming AFC South battle that you are looking most forward to? John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Byron Matthews in for the man Figgy Fig on the day. And look, you got this game that is important, even if you're, even if I'm not afraid of it. Are you 5-point favorites?
No.
In this one, your Houston Texans, obviously the odds makers and the bettors have a lot of confidence in your Houston Texans in this game. All of the consternation about offensive line aside, like, it's just clear. It's a better team.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you need to go through all the processes to make sure that you are not forgetting anything. So what are the places where the matchups happen that you are interested in? Plus, I kind of have a little question that's come in on the Twitch that I want to get to eventually on the back end, but I think it ties into one of the matchups that you could possibly see.
Well, you know, one of the things I mentioned in terms of like the two most important players, you know, if you don't count the offensive line big picture, Joe Mixon, to me, that's not necessarily a matchup. The other one that's interesting to me is Tank Dell. You know, how is Tank Dell? They're not good against the run. They're not great against the pass, the Colts defense. But Tank Dell finding space, because the Colts defense is going to be so tuned in and plugged in on stopping Joe Mixon. And so aware of Stephon Diggs with no Nico Collins on the field. So that points to one guy. That points to, you know, obviously C.J. Stroud has to get it done, but it points to Tank Dell having that quote-unquote breakout game, which we are still waiting for. Now, the particular matchup, I can't tell you exactly how the game plan is for the Colts, but I guarantee you it's going to be underneath stuff, you know, maybe, you know, safety he can get matched up on, et cetera.
Yeah, interestingly enough, this Colts team has run quite a bit of cover two. Even
yes, they have.
Gus Bradley kind of is a cover three guy, and I think a majority of their stuff is still cover three. But they've done a decent amount of cover two as well. It feels like just having those deep safeties has been some of the things, one of the limiting factors for Tank Dell. In some ways, like outside of like the end arounds or whatever that you saw early to get him the ball, there hasn't been a lot of stuff. There's been like kind of outs, like maybe some speed outs or whatever that have gotten the ball. It doesn't feel like there's been a lot of things that have been utilized to get him the ball. And I wonder how much that is like there. CJ is having to pat the ball a little bit and not able to get, some of the deep shots that he really wants to. The only player that feels like they've gotten a lot of deep shots out of was Nico Collins, who obviously is out with that hamstring injury.
So that points to Tank as well.
That if you can get to some of those things, right, especially if they get into some of these cover three looks where you have an opportunity to maybe manipulate and attack those. One of the things that I think is clearly there with the guys that are returning, obviously DeForest Buckner, but the one that's really important, Jonathan Taylor. That is probably one of the pieces that the Colts have that is really notable that you have to make sure, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
let's focus what we're doing here, because Jonathan Taylor, it's very evident what he brings as a running back. And hey, remember that you're missing some guys defensively. Although I think that you feel good about Neville Hewitt, and I believe, at least Jake Hansen handled himself well. I think it'll be interesting to see if Toto will play. Now, he is practicing today.
They're
practicing
saw that
inside at NRG Stadium today, obviously preparing for that game that'll be played indoors on Sunday. But Toto is practicing today, which would maybe lead you to believe that he has a high probability of playing on the weekend. He has been good at getting upfield and getting into some of these tackles and maybe kind of put him in the place where he was capable of having a concussion, because he really fires himself in there. But those guys are going to be real vital in making sure to stop the run from JT's position of this.
Right. And by the way, also practicing today is Kamari Lassiter. And that speaks directly to another matchup for me that is going to be crucial.
Are you talking about the man who wears number 14 for the Colts?
That would be the man. Either him, Alec Pierce, or Josh Downs. I think Michael Pittman Jr. is going to be out there. And certainly, you know, we know what Derek Stingley can do, but Kamari Lassiter, a lot of pressure on him on however, you know, it matches up on the outside.
Yeah, if you remember, right, that week one, we were looking at it after the game. We're like, yeah, they didn't take advantage of it, but they got running deep. Actually, they hit a couple.
But they missed, too.
But they definitely missed
some. They're coming back to that.
And Alec Pierce has run a vertical route on 54% of his routes. Like, that is what he does. Right? That is what he do, is Alec Pierce run vertical. And so
Kamari Lassiter, come on down.
Not a lot of teams have tested this secondary in a big way vertical. And I guess some of the things about it is when they've done that, especially over the middle of the field, you've gotten some Kalen Bullock ball hawking that's helped. You do wonder if you end up with those guys streaking down the sidelines, how that looks on those deep balls. And so it might be incumbent upon Kamari Lassiter to display his you know, ability to get his hand on the football and break up passes as well. Yeah, that might be – that's definitely one of the ones that I'm looking forward to in this. And then, of course, we got to bring back – the one that's obvious. The quarterback of the team, Anthony Richardson. We are back in week one. I feel the same emotions again, which is – I do wonder if this defensive pass rushing tandem, I guess entire group, right, all the way across, including Tim Settle, who has been handling his business on the defensive line, are they going to be able to get pressure still? Because week one, remember, we were like, they're not really getting a lot of pressure, but that's because it felt like there was a lot of effort made sure to corral Anthony Richardson and not allow him to beat you with his legs, because you damn sure are not believing in his capability of beating you with his arm.
Mm-hmm.
So keep him kind of corralled. Are they going to be able to corral him, but then also get to him? That's going to be an interesting thing.
And that happened here last year in week two. You know, when they beat the Texans and he was, until injured, you know, he was really, really big. And that's also why you're not wrong about Jonathan Taylor and the inside linebackers, but I think it fits with Anthony Richardson and the inside linebackers. Toa, obviously, if he plays, Neville Hewitt and Jake Canton, because when they get that pressure outside, Anthony Richardson right up the middle, you better bring him down. So I think the linebackers, you know, have high alert, not just with Jonathan Taylor, but with Anthony Richardson, too.
You mentioned, you talked about Tank Dell, and somebody asked a question on the Twitch. Was letting Noah Brown go versus keeping John Metchie a good move for these Texans? Noah Brown, year to date, 14 catches, 185 yards. Metchie has one catch, single catch, 7 yards. And I was like, I don't know, but I mean, with the current situation, especially with Nico Collins out, you do wonder what could you have possibly gotten from Noah Brown that you have not gotten from Metchie, especially considering that there's still been a very clear effort to get the ball majority-wise to Stephon Diggs, Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, to varying degrees of success, understandably, but that's still been the focus on getting the football when you're passing the ball. Do you think that, looking back, maybe that was the wrong way to go, or maybe evaluating what the difference and distinction that you maybe could have gotten from Noah Brown if he was
I think it's an interesting question. The problem is, it wasn't going to happen this year. They were going to give John Metchie another year to see what happened, but that's not happening. He has one catch for 7 yards this year. The one thing that Noah Brown does, though, is block. He's a big time blocker. It's his calling card. He's really a tough dude, big dude. So maybe, but I just don't think it was ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. Thanks, Change Up H-Town on the Twitch for asking that question. I think that was interesting. Going back to kind of matchups, offensive line has to come up here at some point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just are they going to handle up? And this feels like a matchup that should be advantageous. So if you look sorry in any way, shape, or form, Monday's not going to be fun, right? I don't mean to say that
in any way.
I don't want that to sound like a threat, but that's just
not
that's
here,
real.
Not there,
that is
not
the
anywhere.
This Colts pass rush is 30th when it comes to quarterback pressure percentage. That quarterback should be able to execute in a way to handle his business. CJ Stroud should. So, like, if y'all can't keep that man clean, if y'all can't give him an opportunity and space to step up into the pocket, there's going to be some real issues after all the talk that we've had.
Look, you think it's bad now. if that's issue with the Colts and the defense that is already, you know, established as not good, then it's going to be off the charts next week.
Yeah, y'all better not break CJ Stroud's streak.
Yeah.
And all, was it three times that he has played the Colts?
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns, no interceptions.
That's right.
It's either two touchdowns, no interceptions, or three touchdowns, no interceptions, or four. It better not change. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And especially, you know, with as bad as the Colts defensive front has been bringing pressure.
Yeah, so those are kind of the matchups. Are there any other matchups that you're thinking about that, like, hey, that's something I'm looking out for? I keep coming back to this game, and I feel like, obviously, my job here, Sports Radio 610, where the Texans play, you can hear the game noon. 9 a.m. is when pregame starts. I feel like I should be, you know, doing pumping this game up, and I don't think that I need to necessarily. Everybody listening, y'all Texans fans, but at the same time, this game does not seem like, when it comes to like the football of it,
it's a weird feeling.
I don't know that I have like I'm. There's not a lot that I'm like, hey, the football of it is super intriguing per se,
right?
But like, besides the Texans themselves and what exactly. they need to do, as opposed to
weird
how
feeling.
It meets up against what the Colts are doing.
Because you're kind of anxious but confident, which those two things don't normally jibe.
Right.
You know?
Like, yes.
Anxious about the line, anxious about, you know, several things.
If you can actually get the ball
but
to
you
some
feel
of
like
players.
They're going to win.
Yes.
You know, it's weird.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Jonathan Taylor versus the Texans interior defensive line pops up on the YouTube. Absolutely. I think that this is where, you know, I feel confident about that, seeing the way that Tim Settle has played, Khalil Davis has played. What does Danico Autry continue to look like? I don't know if that's a matchup.
Good point.
But like, what does his continued role look like as he rolls himself more into the shape of actual playing, as opposed to kind of just keeping himself close to game shape?
And getting into it, yeah.
Right. I want to see what, and does that mean that he's going to get more snaps at that three technique, or is it going to kind of continue to be some of this kind of rotating in and really getting kind of just the pass rush options or opportunities, I should say. Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including the Rockets at home tonight against one of the better tests in the early part of their season, the Grizzlies. We'll talk about that and more